No. What I've done is actually targeted the market of the women over the age of 45, who are perhaps they didn't travel when they were younger. They didn't have the opportunity. They didn't have the money. Now they're seeing sons and daughters trek off around the world and then thinking to themselves, I quite like to do that. They've got the disposable income to do it, and perhaps they've got a spouse who's a bit reluctant to do it, or perhaps they're just by themselves. So my book is very much targeted to that audience.
So what inspired you to do it, to write it?
I was actually involved in my own company, the Vancouver Tool Corporation, where I was selling caulking tools, tools for the application of sealant and caulking all over the world. And I had to get on a flight and do a conference in Chicago or New York, do a trade show in Germany, a trade show in Vienna. And I kept leaving and doing those trade shows and then coming back. And my cohort of friends and people that I bumped into would say, "You're so brave to have done that." And I'm thinking, well, I'm not really brave. And so that was the catalyst. At the same time, I was conscious that the demographics in the travel industry show this was a huge growth for women that wanted to travel and were nervous to do so. So I thought there was the opportunity there to write the book.
So this is all born from personal experience, I guess, then.
Yes, yeah. I also written considerably. I write a lot about camping in British Columbia. So I wrote first about the provincial park campgrounds in British Columbia 20 years ago, and that book's coming out in its eighth edition next year. So basically, as a travel writer, what I've done is recognised a gap in the market and filled that gap.
There are different aspects of safety, aren't there? And I suppose the very worst is to make sure that when you go to bed at night, you don't get attacked, murdered, anything horrible. Sounds very dramatic when you say it.
I think that's a little bit dramatic, Kerry, actually, because I don't know whether I've ever gone to bed at night thinking to myself, I'm going to be attacked and murdered in this hotel bedroom or even in this campsite.
Do you know what, though?
Now,
I have. I've
That's
gone to
because
bed.
you stayed in seedier areas.
Well,
And
that's.
that's one of the joys, actually, about writing for the over 45s. When I was younger and travelling, and perhaps I did go to bed at night without a lock on my door in the little pension in Spain, thinking to myself, I wonder if that guy on the at the bar is going to come up and attack me tonight. But as you get older, and this is one of the things I advocate in the book, you hopefully you can you've got to the stage where you can afford to stay in a hotel, to have a lock on the door, and things like that.
I suppose as well with age, and it comes to everybody, comes wisdom, and you're able to read people a bit better, aren't you? And read certainly situations better.
That's right. That's right. You're not only better, but I think with women, there's a great thing, and perhaps with men as well, of your gut reaction. If something feels it's not right, then you just move yourself from away from the situation. I say about in living in Vancouver, when somebody comes and starts talking to me on the street, I'm so open. I'll talk to them and I'll show them a way and have a conversation in a coffee bar, whatever. Often when I'm traveling, if something just doesn't feel right, I find myself being almost rude, just in a sort of self-preservation way, or I adopt a persona that I wouldn't have in my own environment, just as a sort of self-protection. Also, what I should mention is that travelling as an older woman, when I was travelling in, say, Barcelona down the Ramblas when I was 20, lots of men would stop, they would jeer, they would follow me, they would pursue me. There would be harassment. When you're there as a 55-year-old woman, you walk down the Ramblas, nobody stops, nobody jeers at you. It's actually much safer.
So again, that isn't such a problem, but there are elements of safety I guess you do address in the book because people will have some fears despite what you've touched on.
Yes, yeah, I think that's it. And fear is inevitable as long as, and it's good as long as you don't let it prevent you from doing things. Now, all the book, the 23 cities that I focus on in North America and in Europe are all Western cities. I don't say, yes, you should go to Bangkok, you should go to Dubai, you should go to any Karachi or any third world country. What I'm doing is saying, as a woman that wants to take flight, as a woman that wants to explore, where would be a good places to go? And one of the things I advocate in the book is that, okay, perhaps I live in I don't know, Nottingham, and I've never travelled to a European city by myself. Which one should I go to? And I'd say, well, why don't you go to Budapest? Take a direct flight. Budapest is a different sort of city. It's relatively reasonably priced. It doesn't have the huge influx of tourists that Amsterdam or Prague does. And stay 3 or 4 days and come back and then see whether you've liked it. You'll find out that you can actually do it, and you can do it on the next trip.
So out of all of the cities that you've rated then, which come towards the top of the pile in terms of safety?
In terms of safety, you're very preoccupied about safety. Well, I live in Vancouver, and Vancouver is very safe, as is Whistler, the Canadian cities. But then even things like New York are relatively safe now. I would say that most of the cities that I say are safe, as long as you read the tourist literature and make sure that you don't hang out a long time at the railway stations or you avoid certain places. What my book does is it doesn't give you a huge great information about Amsterdam or Prague or Rome, because there's umpteen thousand websites and books that can do that already. What my book does is say, these are the places that I've personally visited, this is my experience, and this is where I think that you could go to without having any problems.
And in terms of being on your own, sometimes I'm not harping on about safety anymore, but sometimes if you're going out for a meal, you might feel a bit self-conscious. I mean, the worst thing I ever did was to go out for a meal on Valentine's night in America, and the waitress came over and gave me a free dessert and said, "Oh, poor you." And I only realised it was Valentine's night. I was on holiday, but
Yeah, you never realised the dates with it. Well,
yeah, exactly.
that's
Yeah,
quite
a
good
lot
plan.
of
The
couples
waitress
in here
was hitting on
tonight.
you at that particular time.
But it can be a bit intimidating going out on your own. So how do you? I mean, some people take books with them, but have you got any tips for that?
Yes, definitely. And that's one of the things that I do concentrate on, because when lots of people have always said to me, oh, it's so awful going out to by yourself. Now, I think there's two ways to tackle this. Firstly, when I travel by myself, I tend to eat breakfast in the morning at the hotel or in a coffee bar, where, and I don't think that's particularly difficult to do because so many people are eating by themselves. Then I eat the food of that place I happen to be during the day. So if it's Portland, it's food trucks. If it's Prague, it's goulash. If it's Vienna, it's three different types of cream cakes through the day. And then I tend to exhaust myself, go back to my hotel, buy sushi or salad and a bottle of wine, and sit in my hotel in the evening. So I don't actually go out to eat in the evening. What I do is often, if I am thinking I'm hungry in the evening, I'll go and sit at the bar of the hotel or at the bar at a hotel and have tapas. And sitting in the bar as opposed to in a restaurant is much friendlier and less alienating. But again, my target audience is women over the age of 45. If we've been out by ourselves wandering around, we want to be in bed by 9 o'clock. We want to have CNN television or something duffy and then be asleep and be awake the next morning. Younger people would be out socializing and drinking until the early hours.
My mum will be so proud I've asked this question. Finding a clean toilet.
Yes.
Any tried and tested tips on if you're in a strange city, how to make sure you go to a clean loo? Because it is important to a lot of people, isn't it?
Well, and increasing care. I don't actually know how old you are. How old are you?
46.
You're 46. Okay. Well, as you get older, Kerry, you need to find those clean loos more and more and more, right? When I was younger, you use your toilet break first thing in the morning, and you're good for the day. Well, as you get older and you have children, these things are not so easy. So yes, again, one of the nice things about being older is that you just find a nice hotel and you confidently walk into that hotel, find the bar, and use the washroom in that hotel. You make sure you always have change to go to the washrooms that you have to pay for throughout different cities. And then I talk a lot about, because my book is released first in North America. In North America, we have a lot of very good clean washrooms which constantly have toilet paper. In England, for example, pubs often run out of toilet paper in the women's washrooms early on in the evening. The cisterns aren't so clean, so it's a case of finding those and making sure that you carry that sort of provisions. Washrooms in McDonald's are always fantastic. So if you're ever doing a road trip in North America, and I talk about road trips, although I hate McDonald's for the food, I adore them for the quality of the washrooms.
So you just sneak in, you pretend you've had a burger.
No. I normally buy the, in North America it's only $1.50, but I normally buy the cup of coffee. And but I can quite easily go into the washrooms whenever I'm going to the fast food. And if you're in communities miles away from anywhere, sometimes there only is the McDonald's option, and the gas stations aren't particularly great washrooms.
Some people might make comments if you travel on your own, and I've had this when I've been solo traveling, and you almost get patronized, or they'll almost want to take you under the wing because they think there's something wrong with you, or because you're sad and lonely. Have you got any ways of dealing with that? I don't mean that the feeling of perhaps if you do feel sad or lonely, but making sure that you don't get swamped by people that are wanting to look after you when you're quite happy on your own, actually.
I think what happens when you're by yourself, people talk to you more, and that's actually quite nice to have those encounters with people that are, I don't know whether I've actually thought people thought I'm sad and lonely. I think lots of people are actually jealous. I find husbands and wives that have been travelling together for 30 years that have got nothing to say to each other are looking at you a little bit envious when they're thinking, oh gosh, that woman's by herself and she can go off and do whatever she wants to do. Also, what I advocate in the book is that if you can't, you lots of people think they're going to be lonely before they do a solo travel, and then when they've done it, they come back and say, I expected to be lonely, but I wasn't at all. I really liked being by myself. And when you do need social interaction, for example, I advocate staying in a hotel that has a hot tub, because inevitably at the end of the day, you go to the hot tub and you can start talking to somebody else. I advocate using swimming pools as opposed to fitness rooms, because again, they promote conversation and things. And for example, a few months ago, I was in Munich for 5 days by myself. After 2 days, I decided to actually take part in a tour, met eight other people, had a tour to Dachau for 5 hours. Suddenly, I've got social interaction for those 5 hours, and then I go back to my hotel I'm by myself. I've f fulfilled my social needs.
Some very good tips there, things that I would never have thought about.
Oh, well, it's that it's one of those things again with traveling. I want to be by myself. I have a busy life here in Canada. I have two teenage sons. I have a husband who's currently off by himself at the moment at the Euro soccer tournament. So we and that's one of the things to bear in mind. Although my book is for the single woman, you don't necessarily have to be single. There's a huge, great growth in spouse-free holidays. As I said, my husband's watching the European football tournament. I don't want to go there. He's there on his bike with four of his friends. There's no here. The size of his pannier is the size of my toiletries bag. When I travel, I want to have a little bit more luxury. I've just come back from Las Vegas and Yosemite and the Ashland Shakespeare Festival, and I had 2 weeks by myself. It doesn't mean our marriage is on the rocks, I don't think. It just means that we have different ambitions now.
Well, it actually can help a marriage, can it? I guess if you have your own escape, as it were.
Exactly. What happens now is I'm looking after my two teenage deviant sons as he's off having fun, and we do and he did the same thing in May when I was away. We actually he comes back and has a whole ton of different stories for me. We have holidays together as well, so it's a win-win situation.
Now, what about the downside of solo travel, and that's the cost? Because if there's two of you sharing a room, then obviously you can count it, you can split it down the middle, as it were. And also, if you have a solo room in some cruise ships, then you get charged a supplement, which seems grossly unfair. Have you got any tips on
Yeah.
dealing with that?
The cruise ships are extortionately expensive, and base, and but they are now. I understand they're bringing a lot more solo rooms and cruise ships, the new ones that are being built. I think it's a little bit of a case of research. In North America, you pay the same hotel rate for whether it's a single room or a double room, because all our beds are huge and great and double and things, so you don't really have that. If you're traveling independently, if it's a flight, then you obviously there's no supplement from that. I find eating out, I can manage to find things that's no extra. So I don't really think there's a lot. You can get bargains. There's some lots of websites do have two for one types of things, and I don't think it's particularly bad. I spoke to a woman earlier this week who'd done a trip with women where they paired you up with somebody else in the hotel bedroom. So if you want to do an organized tour, many of these organized tours do say, okay, are you prepared to share a room? Therefore, we'll cut the single room supplements and things like that. But for me, the idea of sharing a room with a stranger for 5 nights is, I think I'd prefer to pay the extra $40 a night.